only thing truckers are interested in is how fast their trucks will go and how far their CBs will reach.
Well, hello, big riggers out there. Thanks for joining me, Jim Campbell, where we talk all things trucking. This is going to be an update on a video we did earlier about the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which was hit by the ship named the Dally a couple days back. Please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell at the bottom. It'd be much appreciated. Okay, the NTSB, that's National Transportation Safety Board, just did an update to their findings. We're going to be going over that here in a moment. A little bit about the Key Bridge. It's actually named Francis Scott Key Bridge. Everybody calls it the Key Bridge. It actually opened March 23rd of 1977. So with it being hit just a few days ago, it was actually hit just a day or a couple days after its 47th birthday. So it's not really that old of a bridge. But what it is the third longest truss bridge, continuous truss bridge in the world. Now, what a truss bridge is, and the reason why it went down like it did, is most of your longer bridges are suspension bridges. You know, where if something happens with the foundation, hold them up from the bottom, they're still got a suspension, you know, where truss bridges don't. Everything is sitting on top of pillars. So that's what happened with this. You know, on a truss type bridge, somebody takes a pillar out, well, there's nothing else holding up and everything, like the domino effect, comes crashing down. That's what we saw here. Anyway, when this bridge was built and opened March 23rd, 1977, the final cost of construction was $220 million. In terms of today's dollars, that'd be $1.9 billion, would it be? Keep that in mind. Okay, we're going to watch a short video. And as we watch this video, pay attention to the ship. This is going to show the ship coming up as it approaches the Key Bridge. Now, the Key Bridge has arches. In between each set of pillars, there's an arch. And there's a green light right in the middle of that arch. So when a ship comes around, lines up on that channel, it's supposed to head directly underneath the center of that arch, the center of that bridge. And there's a big old green light in case it's foggy out or whatnot to help you know where you're going. Well, obviously, this wasn't a foggy night. So anyway, watch the video. And as you're watching it, you tell me if it looks like that ship was headed to the middle of the Key Bridge, to go underneath the middle of it. To me, it kind of looks like it was heading to the pillar all along, but might be an optical illusion, but tell me what you think.
This morning aboard the cargo ship Dolly as investigators begin gathering evidence among the mangled mess blocking the Patapsco River after the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapsed. The Dolly held 56 cargo containers of hazardous material. That's more than 760 tons. Some of those containers were sheared open, never realizing it would capture such a tragic moment of history.
Also a part of phase one, conducting interviews with the ship staff, reviewing the ship's Voyager data recorder, engine data, manufacturer information, and inspection and maintenance history. Then at least six specialized teams pieced together those details for a report containing the cause and sequence of events. And finally, the NTSB will issue safety recommendations, though those could come earlier in this case. Chris Van Cleve has the latest.
From the water, the scope of the accident is enormous. The cargo ship Dolly is almost as long as the Chrysler Building in New York City is tall. Now, our first look on board the giant vessel as NTSB investigators work to gather evidence and continue interviews with the ship's 21-person crew. The Dolly's voice data recorder shows about 90 seconds after the first sign of trouble, the onboard pilot called for help, asking nearby tugboats to respond. Less than a minute later, the mayday call. Then the devastating collision. The damage on board is extensive. Part of the bridge came down on the bow, leaving a deep gash. Cargo containers with hazardous material sit sheared open.
Okay, what you think? Leave me a comment below. Tell me what you think. Okay. These ships, these commercial ships, are no different than commercial airliners. Well, all airliners, actually, you know, airplanes. They have a black box or a recorder that records, takes a, you know, of the system, you know, of the, now the plane is much more sophisticated. An airplane is much more sophisticated than a boat. So the black box on a plane records much more data from, because they have many more systems on board to fly that airplane than you do on a ship that just floats down the, you know, down the wall, on, you know, floats. So, but anyway, the black box on ships, you know, it records sensor data from the ship, from ship systems, from various ship systems, speed, rudder angle, that's how they, you know, how it steers, engine RPM, the ship's heading, and bridge audio. Is what these ships' black box, records. Now, the black box they have on these ships is no different than the black box in the airplanes with regard to that they have a backup, you know, a battery or a generator backup, so that if power is ever lost, it continues recording, you know, so that God forbid something happens. You know what happened, you know, there's something to look back on. Anyway, reason why I bring that up is the NTSB, that's National Transport Safety Board, got their hands on that black box, the you know, not that long after that this happened, you know, the bridge got hit. And they just released the findings. According to the black box data, that ship, named the Dally, pulled out of Dundalk. Dundalk is the side of the harbor where they load the boxes, 20-foot, 40-foot boxes, onto the ship. So they loaded him up over at Dundalk. The ship pulled out at 12:39 a.m. from Dundalk, entered the channel at 107. The channel is how it comes out of Dundalk and lines itself up in the channel, you know, like a bowling alley. Think of it that way. The lane, the channel's the lane to go directly underneath the Key Bridge. And the Key Bridge, every set of pillars, there's an arch. And the one that they have set up for the channel, in the middle of that arch, you know, on the bridge itself up there is a big green light. So if it happens to be, you know, a foggy day, foggy night, whatever, you could still be able to see that green light. So anyway, this ship, the Dally, pulled out of Dundalk at 12:39 a.m., entered the channel at 1:07, should have had its bearings, you know, lined up to go directly underneath the Key Bridge, the arch in the Key Bridge. It looks to me like that didn't happen that way. Looks like it was heading straight toward that pillar. But at 1:24:59 a.m., that black box stopped recording for a minute and 3 seconds. Now, it did record the bridge audio, as it should have. But there was a 1 minute and 3 second lapse where it didn't record the other ship data. The speed, the rudder angle, which is the steering, the engine RPM, the ship's heading. You know, for some reason, that stuff didn't record for a minute and 3 seconds. Now, the power, you could see the lights go off and on, about a minute or so before impact with that, you know, but, and that's what they're saying, that the root cause of this accident was it lost power. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, if this thing's in the channel and it's lined up to go directly underneath this bridge, and it was okay at 17 minutes in, because it got in the channel at 107, and at 124 and 59 seconds is where it came up on that. you know, and that's where the lights went off and on a couple times. So it was okay up to that point. So even if it did lose power, and even if it you know, would drift a little bit, it shouldn't hit that pillar if it was lined up to go directly underneath the center of that bridge. You understand what I'm saying? So, but anyway, a minute and 3 seconds later, the recorder started recording again at 126 and 2 seconds. I'm sorry, at 126 and 39 seconds, the pilot radioed for tugboat help. And at 127 a.m., the Dally dropped their port anchor. At 127 and 25 seconds a.m., the Dally notified the Key Bridge, radioed up, and said, "Hey, I think we got a problem. You better stop traffic on the bridge. It looks like we may be hitting the bridge." At 129 a.m., the ship was going approximately 8 miles an hour, according to Black Box, 8 miles an hour. And at 129 and 30 seconds a.m., it hit the bridge. So if it entered the channel at 107, hit the bridge at 129 and 30. So what, 22 minutes? Yeah. It was only 22 and a half minutes into the trip, and it hit that. But it didn't start losing power. When we know that, because the lights blinked and off just before it hit the pillar. I don't know. It just seems a little off to me. You know, but what do I know? I'm a truck driver. Okay. First of all, my heart goes out to the victims of this unfortunate, you know, situation and their loved ones as we fast approach Easter Sunday. So, but with that being said, I got three questions. You know, the first question is, as you saw in the video, why does it look like the ship is heading toward that pillar all along? I mean, if it lost power once again and was drifting, or if it was, you know, if it was lined up directly to the middle to go underneath the middle to begin with, I don't think it would hit that pillar. What do you think? My second thing is, what happened with that missing minute and 3 seconds? I mean, what happened to the backup that's supposed to be recording everything all along, even if you do lose power? Why did it keep recording the bridge audio? Never lost, you know, it recorded that. But why mysteriously didn't it record the ship data? You know, the speed, the rudder angle, you know, the ship heading. What happened to all that? And thirdly, why was our government so quick to say, we're going to pay for it all? We're going to pay for the cost of the repair and the rebuild of that bridge. You know, and in a matter of, what, a day, they cut a check for $60 million. Here you go. You know, started. Well, wait a minute. Shouldn't the owners of that ship and the insurance company that was insured that ship, shouldn't they be paying for this repair or rebuild of this bridge, not the American taxpayer? What's going on here? And I watched a video conference where, you know, Joe Biden and the Biden administration, here's a $60 million check. And there's going to be more coming. This is the first installment. I mean, we can't be quit. We keep printing money, and they wonder why inflation's where it's at. You know, and here's another thing. Once again, I mean, why isn't the owners of the ship and the insurance company, they putting out the bill to pay for this? Why do we, the American people, got to pay for it? And secondly, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Coast Guard, and the Navy are the ones that are doing the salvaging work, and they're the ones that are bringing their own equipment. I mean, we own the Navy Coast Guard boats. We, you know, and the cranes and everything that's coming in, you know, and we already pay the salary on the Army Corps of Engineers, the Navy guys, the Coast Guard. We're already paying their salaries. So where's this $60 million going? I mean, why was there a rush to give him $60 million where we're paying the salaries of the guys that's doing the work? And obviously, you're not going to start doing any rebuilding any day soon until they clean up the mess. In the meantime, shouldn't, like, I go back once again, shouldn't the owners of the ship and that insurance company be cutting a check? Anyway, leave me a message down below. Tell me what you think. Please remember to like, subscribe, and ring that notification bell below. Have yourself a safe and a very happy Easter. Take care. Bye-bye.
I can hardly wait till I'm a trucker.